Okay. We're plugged in. Machshava from Yeshiva, Gifton, Parsha Shlach. After the, so the Meraglim come back, and Bershom gives Bershom a diamond, they shouldn't be destroyed. The Bershom says, it's fine. Shlach tiki devorecho, v'ulam chai oni. So, but what's going to happen is that these people who saw what I've done, and they tested me these 10 times, so that these people will not see Eretz Yisrael. So the lashon of the pasuk, they will not see Eretz Yisrael. Chol menatzai lo yiruha. Those, all those, are menayitz Hashem, which mecharef to Hashem, lo yiruha, will not see it. But v'avdi kolev, because he had ruach acheres, v'avi yosiv al aretz asher bo Hashem v'zara yerushani. I will bring him into the land. So it switches the lashon. Says they will not see the land, and he will come into the land. So Pasha Taich, because not only will he come into see the land, but he'll actually come into the land. Whereas they, not only will they not come into the land, they won't even see the land. But the Shini Aloshan, the Shiva had the Ora, the Kor, that this pasuk includes the Meraglim. The Meraglim saw the land. This Shavua the Russian made, that they're not going to go in, went in all of Klal Yisrael, including the Meraglim. So how can it say that they're not going to see the land when they already saw the land? So it shouldn't say they're not going to come into the land. The Russian says, Im yuvayu ala oretz, asher nishbat ala v'som, v'chom anatzai lo yuvayu shama, v'chom anatzai lo yiruha, they will not see it. So Meshiva said, they didn't see Eretz Yisrael. They saw a figment of their imagination. They went in with their chesroness. The Russian was a land which was a land which was a, which is Eretz Tovah. They saw a land which is Ocheles Yoshveha. The Russian was doing the Tovah that they should be safe, and the people in the Eretz, the Canaanim, should be busy with their Evelis, and they saw the Russian was against them. They didn't see the reality. They saw things happening, but what they ended up seeing was not true, was not real. Kolev, on the other hand, saw the reality. So you can't say Kolev will go see Eretz Yisrael. He already saw Eretz Yisrael. It says, well, Kolev, b'havi yosiv el oretz, I will bring him into the land. It doesn't say I will let him see the land, because he already saw it. It says, I will bring him into the land. The only question is now the havor. So many times we have a situation where she was, spoke about this in the Kuda, where we walk in, there's a saying in Yiddish, is yedal bal darshan, darshan fazich. But each person interprets something in his own way, what's based on to his advantage. Right? So, I don't see the real reality. I've told you many times my shtickle about the color war syndrome. Right? I call solid color war syndrome. So that you have the two sides of the color war, and this one is saying, once if I'm a Mar Chazal, that why their side is right. And this one finds Murmur Chazal, well, their side is right. So, it's a scary thing. Because I can find you Chazal that this is the most important thing in the world. And I can find you Chazal that this is the most important thing in the world. So which one is it? So if I go in up front with my attitude of what I think is important, I might never change my life. I go through my whole life believing that Chazal are on my side. But I didn't see the reality. I saw what I wanted to see. Because I have this natural tendency towards X, so that's all I'm going to see. But a person goes in, what does a Kadosh Baruch Hu want? And he honestly asks that question. There's a word that the Rav Dessler, Mithlio, says, which the Rav Shach says the same word, that the Gemara says, The pasuk says that the more the psukim say that ma'amahav the aretz. So the psukim say that the damar zeh, it says that the nevim they weren't magida. It says Chazal darshan that the damar zeh shalul nevim shalul hakamim, and they weren't able to answer ma'amahav the aretz until the Kadosh Baruch Hu himself said Allah zeh mitarasi shalul baruch mitarat chila. Here you have a situation where the Gedolei Hador, the Nevi'im and the Chachamim couldn't figure out what the problem was. So it was such a hidden issue that the Chachamim couldn't figure it out and the Nevi'im couldn't figure it out. So why do we deserve a punishment? If they couldn't figure it out, how are we supposed to figure it out? So if we didn't know what's wrong, we couldn't figure it out, so how can we be punished? So Rosh Hashanah said, this person is maftiach you, if you really want to find the Emes, you'll find the Emes. The Chachamim can't tell you, the Nevi'im can't tell you, but if you search deep enough inside of yourself, you will find the answer. Rav Dessler says that, you know, he talks about there's a haftacha, the mabat ha'emes, a person is truly interested in finding the truth, he will seek it with his whole heart and be willing to hear what's uncomfortable to hear, to think what's uncomfortable to think, he will find it. So there's a haftacha, you'll find the emes if you search for the emes. But most of us, the situation, we go through situations, and we don't see the emes. We see a superficial understanding of something. It could be a very superficial understanding of something, first impressions, etc. I think this is something which, as much as it's true in situations, it's true about people. We make first impressions about people, and the first impressions of people sometimes are I'm not saying negative, but they become our understanding of the person, and then many times we get to know the person better and realize that we were totally off. We thought this fellow was he's not so intelligent because he doesn't speak up. We thought, oh, the guy's very intelligent. But this person is not so warm, and he really is very warm. And you thought this person is not so doesn't understand, and he does understand. And many times we do this. We walk through life with a misinterpretation, and first impressions are very strong by people. Chazal recognized that already. First impressions, Chazal talked about the issue of one Baal HaDin talking to the Dayan, you can't without the other one there, because first impressions are very strong. So we go through life misinterpreting people. There's an interesting halacha in Hilchos Hesped. So when a person says a hesped, so it's covered to say a hesped. We talk about the milas of the nifter. So what about adding in a little bit more? Adding in a little bit extra, you know. So he was such a big tzaddik. Well, you know, he wasn't such a big tzaddik. He was such a big baal chesed. No, he wasn't such a big baal chesed. You know, what are you allowed to say? I mean, we say it like it is. This fellow, you know, used to come to shir most of the time and fall asleep. You know, beautiful hesped. I mean, you know, you're not going to say that. You say he went to shir every night and he was loved Torah so much. You know, the guy fell asleep every night in the shir. So he didn't love Torah so much. What are you supposed to say? I once had a situation that, you know, a person donated money to Tal Yeshiva and was nifter. He lived out in West Salem, Ohio. He was the only Jew in West Salem, Ohio. So they brought him up to Cleveland. It's an hour away from Cleveland. He had a farm out in farmland in Ohio. So they called the yeshiva that he came on the yeshiva every year. You know, the family called up that somebody from the yeshiva should come and eulogize him. He didn't belong to any shul. So I turned, nobody, you know, none of the rabbis were available. So they turned to one of the college light. So I got called in and says, Ellie, we need you. So I ended up going to say, well, I think it was the first hesped I said in my life, was except for my father, Lo Shalom, was besides that, you know, hesped and somebody else. So I went out. I don't know the person from Adam. You know, I mean, like. So I came there. I talked to the family a little bit. As I met them, they read by the basic chorus. I said, you know, tell me about him a little bit. So I got to say, you know, here's a person who lived out in the middle of nowhere, but he kept the Musig of Stalka. He kept the Musig of. He went to visit Eretz Israel. You know, there were certain things that he did. He tried to build a picture. But how much you want to say? You know, he loved Eretz Israel. He went to Eretz Israel a few times. He loved Eretz Israel. Like, you know, you'll say it. So the law is like this. You don't want to say too much, because here this person is standing right before his Yom HaDin. His personal Yom HaDin. He's going to go into Shemayim and say, you know, they said about you, you're a big tzaddik. Well, let's see. Are you really such a big tzaddik or not? You don't want to say that about the person, because you're endangering him. But, Allah says, you're allowed to be megazim tzas. Because Everybody has something to him more than you know. You don't know the end all and be all of every person. There's always more to the picture than you know. So you think this fellow does, you know, you got to add on a little more, because there's always guaranteed he does more than you know. He's davening better than you know. He learns better than you know, and he does chesed better than you know, and everything like that. So you got to be megaz. So we look at people and we don't understand. I've had this hit home to me many times here in the community. You walk into the shul and you see some of these elderly people over here. You don't know the history, you don't know the story, you don't know people's stories. And you sort of picture them, and this is, you know, this their station of life, and this is what they are. And, you know, they seem to be simple people, not too much depth, you know, etc. And then you start talking to some of them, you start hearing some of their stories, and some of the things that they lived through, and things that they accomplished, and things that the challenges they overcame. And you realize that, oh my, you are totally off. There's the person I met over here in the shul. He looks a simple person. There's a maestro once, during the war, he was in Germany. He went into the Gestapo office to demand help for a school. There was a Jewish school still functioning in the city. He had a report to the Gestapo office. He took his life in his hands because the school needed something. Because the school needed something. This is a simple little old man. You see him right in the shul, you know, it looks like, you know, a simple little old man. This man, we don't come to the person's toes, to his toenails. We do that. He said the school needed something. He wasn't officially a teacher, but there was nobody left. So he was teaching in the school. He was a bacher then. So he was. It says that we needed something for the school. It was couldn't function anymore. So I was told by the rabbi, my advice is to make sure the children learn. I have to do whatever it takes. And up to Ankele Maseiros Nefesh, he was Mamash Maseiros Nefesh. You look at the person and say, it's a whole different light, a whole different world. When a person davens for Shabbos morning, she's davening for a while. You know. So one Shabbos, we end up walking in together, so I schmooze him a little bit. So in Yiddish, he's much more comfortable in Yiddish. So I asked him, you know, so where's he from? And he asked him, ever learned Yeshiva? He learned Yeshiva, he learned the Ponyevich. He says, when you learn Ponyevich, he says, he learned Ponyevich. When the Ponyevich arose, started Ponyevich, he learned Ponyevich. When I started the yeshiva in Bnei Brak, he was one of the original bachur who started the yeshiva. He was the youngest bachur there. He got away out of the war, he got out, they started during the war. And here's a yid over here who learned under the Ponyevich Rav. You know, he's a nice guy, he was in the back of it there with this old little talus, you know, like, you know. And we look at him like, yeah, he's like, I'm Yeshiva Man, and he's like this guy over there in the corner, you know. And we don't know. There's so much to these people. And besides the fact of how much you can gain and learn from them, but just the attitude. I just find it, it's like, take it a step further, you know, I mean, to measure somebody's value, we need information, we need measuring sticks. Right? You need the way you measure, but you have to have a keli to measure something with. You have to measure it against something. So I measure it against what I think is chashuv. Well, what do I know about what's chashuv? So me, with all of my 20 years, I'm a little older than that, whatever, okay. Right? Me, with all of my knowledge, all my information, my measuring stick is only as big as I am. What do I know? What do I really know? What do I really understand about what's important in life? You know, the famous quote they have from Mark Twain. That Mark Twain, you know, about the way he went away to college and he came back, and his father had gotten so much smarter during those 4 years he was away in college. The father didn't change. He says, as he grew up and matured, he realized that his father wasn't so stupid to start with. But when he was 18 years old, he's convinced his father was stupid. His father doesn't understand. And by the time he's 40 years old, he looks back and says, you know, my father was a genius. But at the age of 18, I understand the world. And, you know, people just don't understand. And we look back, the older you, the more mature you get. I mean, I look at myself. I had a mice. It was like, should look at mice. Chazal say that binyan the orim is stira. Mysterious canem is binyan. that the person said to myself, Rechavim. So Rechavim, the nation comes to him and says that, you know, we need the taxes should be lessened. Your father Shlomo gave us the taxes. We need to lessen the taxes. So he says, so he asks his kenim, he says, what should I do? And his kenim says, you should listen to them. He asks his friends, says, you should tell him I'm the king, and whatever my father did, I'm doing more because you're the king. So he told them that, and they said, fine, loyalecha Yisrael, and they made your album the king, and he lost. They split up Klal Yisrael. It was binyan. We're gonna accomplish. We're gonna do. And this kedem said, you know, relax. You know, let's pull back a little bit. You know, it's stira. Stira's kedem was binyan, and binyan the norm is stira. I had a ma'isa, two ma'isas, and I, you know, the contrast is this: a bachur in Tel was caught doing something improper, and I was bachur. I was 22, whatever it was, and it's something that I really felt. The hashpo, etc. I was considered, you know, old, already, I was 22, 23, older bachur in yeshiva. I was kosher bachur in yeshiva, whatever, you know. So I went to the yeshiva. I understand why we keep. How can yeshiva keep such a bachur in yeshiva? And they told me, yeah. So I fought with them, you know. The bachur should be asked to leave. 10 years later, so come out the exact same mindset happens with the bachur in yeshiva. And I remember I was working with Rashi Baruch Chaim, how we could make the, you know, have the bachur stay for a little bit because he shouldn't be mavuyish, and you know, we'll work out a system for him and a program for him. And I remember there was some people were coming, I have to get the bachur out of the yeshiva, and I was thinking to myself, I mean, you don't understand, you think with the neshama. And at some point I had this flashback to 10 years back, and I saw the contrast between the two things, and I said, you know, I grew up a little bit in my life, you know, maybe I understand things better now. But I was so convinced, you know, with all of the excitement of a 22-year-old, like all of the clarity and the force, I was arguing, you know, you got to throw him out, you know. I was so convinced that I was right, that I don't understand. The Rishivas, they don't understand, you know. It wasn't them, it was me, you know. So the older a person gets, there's a balance, a person understands things. So, Kolshkin, if a person is grappling with A, I don't know anything about the person, I don't really know his story, and B, I don't have the measuring stick to measure yet. So how am I supposed to figure out who's Kolshkin and who's not Kolshkin? How am I supposed to understand how to value people and understand their cheshivas, which we don't see, and when we do see something, we just see the picture which we're accustomed to see, what we want to see, etc. So we have three strikes against us. So we shouldn't be judging people. Or if we do judge people, because I'll say, when you're Magil and Mekaimai, his experiences, his background, his everything, then you can judge him. Something you can't judge a person. It's the value of a person. So, there's a nusach. So, Mastif law, we have a kasha on this. There's a nusach in yeshiva, right, which I myself use. It's a nusach in yeshiva. And there's a sima behind it. I want to ask, but something called, that's a balabatha shasvara. Right? Ah, it's a balabatha shasvara. So it's a put down, a balabatha. You know, I have the situation where I said, you know, Dr. Jadak said in the whole, full cycle of my shiur, you know. Every once in a while, say, you know, somebody says Swar, and you know, say, ah, it's a Balabatha Shaswar. Says, no insults, please. But it's a Balabatha Shaswar. He says, what are you in a Balabatha Shaswar? You're putting on Balabatim. Well, you're better than a Balabos. Ah, I'm a Yeshiva. And you're the Balabatha. You know, like, you know. And the problem is, you hear it once, you hear it twice, you hear it 100 times. When you walk into shul, you say, eh, Balabos. Eh, Balabos. We absorb attitudes. So what's going on over here? Revolba has a Gevaldik Ha'orim and Ali Shur about the meat of Gaiva. We've said this over many times. It's important to hear it again. He says, a Bacher needs to have Gaiva. For a Bacher to work on himself, to work on meat of Gaiva, break his Gaiva, he says, a Bacher cannot function and cannot survive without Gaiva. Gaiva is what gives the person the belief, I will become something special, I will accomplish in life. That's what gives him the push. The dream that he has, that I can become something. The day that the Bachur stops dreaming and says, you know what, I did not make it, is a moment of a very difficult day in the Bachur's life. It's a day when he said, you know, I might as well give up. And it's an issue which Rebbeim grapple with. One day I went to him and said, I'm not going to become the next big Talmud Chacham. I'm going to become like whatever, one of many. And it's a disappointing moment. The person needs that. It keeps him going. Gives him the strength to go. But gaiva is not a good thing. So you have to have a balance. So what's the balance? He says the balance. He says there's three things which we have on a constant basis which help us deal with gaiva. Number one is davening. A person davens be'emes. He stands in front of the one who made him, who gives him everything, and says, I need help. So I'm aggressive about gaiva with what? With my kishrin? It's not my kishrin. The person gave me the kishrin. With my good looks? The person gave me the good looks. The person can take it away. Right? The person can do anything. So what am I about gaiva about? I'm about gaiva about your shtender, It's a nice shtender over there. You said it's not even my, it's not my shtender. It's not me. It's a kodesh baruch hu. It's a person davens with an emes. So he is proud of the kelim he was given, but he understands that it was kelim which were given to him. They're not his. They're on loan from a kodesh baruch hu. So that keeps him a balance. The second thing he says, which keeps a person the balance of gaiva, is learning b'cherusa. He says a person learns b'cherusa, and you get into a good fight with your Harusa about Pshat and Nasugya. He says, don't give in. You believe your Pshat is right. Work with every single ounce. This is where Rishol Sotah says it. Tara Lishma means that you want to find the Emes. You're willing to use every single ounce, every fiber of your being to figure out why maybe what you're saying is right. And asking him a kasha and slugging him up and challenging him and being a raya, because we've got to find the Emes. So you use every ounce of your being. He calls it gifting. In Yiddish it's called gifting. It's a spirited, animated, powerful discussion. So all of a sudden you've been arguing for half an hour, and every single kishkin you call the guy maybe a few names along the way, and other thing, right? That he's Amo or he doesn't understand, the Pshat is right. All of a sudden you realize he's right. Baruch Hashem. He's right and I'm wrong. Right? So you say, Baruch Hashem, you have the right Pshat. Right. So with the standard line we usually say, I hear. That's your moment. Save a pemol, like Baruch Hashem, we found Pshat. What's the difference between me or you? We found Pshat. That's an opportunity to work in your gaiva. Says, and the third thing is Shimish Tzmini Chachamim. And he says, Shimish Tzmini Chachamim, so the question you think, what does it mean Shimish Tzmini Chachamim? What's the gaiva you're working on Shimish Tzmini Chachamim? It's very simple. The gaiva is, you see such a big person and you're so small. Yeah. What am I compared to him, And you hear all these stories about these Gedolim and you say, wow, I'd never be like that. That puts you in your place. That's not what he means. He means what we were saying before. He says, you have the situation in your life, you realize, the rabbi's wrong. Rashiv is wrong. It's a fair Shimish Shabura, not like him. He missed the Mishabura. Right? Or he doesn't understand, what's really the issue. Because he's talking about something strange. He doesn't have the point. But I understand better. Right? Now, our rabbi's infallible. In our religion, rabbis are not infallible, We don't believe in that there's other religions have their infallibility clauses. We don't have them. The Morris says, Robert got up and basically says, I made a mistake. We can make mistakes. Somebody asked for him one time. He says, so what is it the Wundus of Chomim? Rabbis can make mistakes. He says, I want to tell you something. Einstein could also make mistakes. But if you are the fool to think you're going to one who's going to chop him on a mistake, you're an absolute fool. He says, I had a conversation with somebody recently. Let's get into Shaduchim. Am I the biggest book in the Shaduchim? I'm not. But I do believe that I probably have had more experience dealing with Sholem Bayis and with Shaduchim than this Bacher. And we had a conversation where, I said one thing, he said the other way. He thinks it shouldn't be like that. The best way to deal with it like this. So I look at this thing, I said, you know, I laughed. I said, you know, we have two bar plukas over here. There's two opinions on the table, way it should be dealt with. You know, I've dealt with like 100 shidduchim or so, and he's dealt with like two. And he's not married yet either. And he understands better than me the way to deal with it. Okay, fine, you know, do whatever you want. I'm not gonna, I can't force you, but I found it laughable. I just started laughing. I said, what are you laughing about? I said, I found it very funny, very funny. I said, you know, he didn't want to hear why I found it funny, but anyway, I didn't tell him that. I said, very funny, like, that we should be, like, there's two equal opinions on the table, according to him. Am I said, I never made mistakes? I make mistakes. But the humility that maybe I have it right and then he has it wrong, nah. Like, hello? Like, that's the third opportunity of Shimon Smith. Maybe when you think that you chopped him on the Mishnah Berurah, maybe you learned the Mishnah Berurah wrong and he learned it right. You know, the person who thinks, you know, he hasn't, you know. So there's three balances. The person's. There's a beautiful world called the yeshiva world. And the yeshiva world, it's a world where a person is striving to become better, to become bigger, to find the panemius inside of himself, understand the real pshat in the Torah, the real pshat in himself. It's a world where people work on themselves. It's a beautiful world. And a person does it with an emes. Part of the emes is, you know, a person gets into the world and says, you know what? I'm special. I'm part of the elite of Klal Yisrael. And the guy out there doesn't have that. So I'm better than him. And that's where you get that challenge. I'm in a special place. She says, you know, you have the prince who grows up. And it goes up in the palace. I'm in the palace. I got something special. I grew up in the palace. And those guys out there don't. But you hope by the time he becomes the king, if he doesn't respect his nation, he's got a problem. They understand that they have a lot to offer him also. He's got a problem. And that's the balance which you try and find. We sit in a world and we pump the guy up and says, you know, you are special, you have something special, and there is a depth which you're getting which other people aren't getting. It doesn't make you better. It doesn't mean that you don't have what to gain from another person. It doesn't mean that there isn't a people over there which have a depth and an understanding which is beyond you. The Gemara Kedushin, one of the Amoraim used to stand up for a Goy. He used to stand up for a Goy. One of our Amoraim used to stand up for a Goy. He says, why come harpet kol avalei dahayinish? Look what he lived through. He understands. He says, he went through the yeshiva of hard knocks. He went through difficulties in life. You learn from difficulties. He's a special person. He has what to offer you also. So you have what to learn from him. You have to respect him. You have to be machshav him. So there's a balance that we have to find. When a person goes through life, there's a balance. You know, the same balance when a person is grappling with understanding my chashivas, understanding what I have, which is special, at the same time not becoming pumped, you know, using that as an excuse to look down my nose at somebody. The place where this, you know, plays itself out is while you're in yeshiva. And even sometimes even more when a person leaves yeshiva. How am I yachas to the people out there? So if I move into a tzibur which is exactly like me, I don't have to deal with it. That's the easy way of dealing with it. It's just tzibur, all, you know, we're all the guys in yeshiva and now we're working, etc. All the same. What do you do when you don't end up that place, or you visit somewhere else? Then you meet people which look different than you, and they don't seem to be as learned as you, and so medactic and mitzvahs as you, etc. Oh, okay, they're a darker down. No, they're not. Maybe they have what to offer you, which will counterbalance many things that you have to offer them. Maybe they have a depth you don't understand. Maybe we're seeing just what we want to see. Maybe we're not seeing Eretz Yisrael, like the Meraglim. They didn't see Eretz Yisrael. They saw what they wanted to see. And they have all these chazal to support, but they're right. So we don't see what we want to, we see what we want to see. There's always more to the picture than, and we don't have the, we don't even have the measuring stick to measure. Those are challenges we grapple with when we look at the world. We look at the world, the guy next to us in yeshiva. Now, I had a conversation as an Eretz Yisrael now, recruiting. So a fellow tells me that, you know, he's looking into the yeshiva, so he called somebody up about the yeshiva and he got the following report. You know, there's X amount of guys which are really good, X amount of guys which are beta name, there's X amount of guys which are, no. If he used some word, I forget what the word they used, you know, something along those lines. He says, is that an accurate report? That's what he asked. I said, you know, I'm not sure where you're going to go in life. I want to tell you something. The guys that you say knew about might have more to teach you about life than the other groups. So don't do this with your hand to somebody. Wherever you go. Says, those guys went through a lot more difficulties than you might ever went through in your life. And they overcame a lot of them. Maybe they're not, you know, they haven't solved all their problems, but they're growing, they're working, they're accomplishing, and maybe they have more to teach you about life than the other group, but didn't have to deal with that yet. So don't mock somebody of that. Says, wherever you go. So whether you come to us or not, that's you know, just, this is a lesson you need to learn for life. Got out of that good, didn't I? Anyway. But I feel that them is, you know, it is. So in yeshiva we have this issue. You know, but out, and a Kabbalah Hermer person walks out of the yeshiva. Person has this issue. It's something that it deserves counsel chazorah. You know, what is the relationship with the people around me? How do I deal with them? How do I understand them? How am I makshut them? What are they saying to me? What lessons can I learn from them? I don't need to learn from them. I don't have what to learn from them. It's not true. I had a conversation. Somebody recently asked me. You know, I spent 23 years in Tel Yeshiva, from 74 to 97. The Tel Yeshiva Baruch Hashem is, you know, the years of my bracharhood, I mean, the yeshiva in those days was, you didn't leave the campus. It was a big, big campus, 60-acre campus, you know, and everything you needed there in the campus. You didn't need to leave campus. And, you know, we used to come Sukkot time and stay till Pesach. We didn't leave campus. You had 6-month winters, and we didn't leave campus. And you sat and learned. So it was a very insular community. And then Carl also, you know, Baruch Hashem, my rabbits in Zanesha's Kyle, and I come out, not have to do anything outside of the yeshiva. So I spent 23 years in that world. And I came to Silver Spring, and it was, you know, and it wasn't like I hadn't, you know, my in-laws are from Silver Springs, so I'd been here before, you know, but I moved in and I settled here, right? So this person asked me, like, how do you deal with that? So if I'm going to tell you, like, you know, I walked in with everything went with a snap like that. Didn't, you know, I had to work on myself. I had to deal with it. But I said, you know what? I said, I want to tell you. I met some of the most wonderful and most chashuv people who have so much to teach me about life. They might not know. They know much less than I do in learning. They know a lot more than me in about life, and they dive in the shul. Just, as long as I can keep that attitude that these people have what to give me and what I have what to gain from them, I can do it. As long as I'm thinking I have I'm on top of them, then I got a problem. And that's a lesson which is a challenge. You know, it's something which I think about it. It's something which I have not spoken about enough over the years, and I want to start. You know, maybe I want to correct this fault a little bit. At least talk about it now. I want to talk about it. It's something which needs chizuk. It needs to something reminder. A person needs to figure out a balance. You know, we are walking in a world outside of ourselves. How do we need to find the balance? Understand the chashiva of somebody else. So again, we don't even see the whole picture. We don't even have the clay meter to measure. And anyway, we see what we want to see. So those three challenges, which give us a lot of pause before we, you know, and honor of a probe and speak and learn. And you have so much to gain from people. I'll tell you one mindset just at the end. Somebody, you know, I went to Chasson recently, so I ended up taking the Muncie Tours bus from Newark. They sent the bus from Newark to pick us up to Muncie. So I sit down next to the driver. I started schmoozing with him. So we schmoozed for an hour. I gained so much in that conversation. He had so much to tell me about life. He was a computer programmer. The market went down. He ended up becoming a bus driver. Right? He had a lot of perspective on life. I had a phenomenal conversation. I think most people will not do that. You know, that's not who they convert. They find somebody else in the bus that they feel comfortable with. It's more like the guy was a usual guy. You know, we didn't have so much in common to start with. You know, now we do. You know, I invite him to come to my house. Sometimes he brings tours down. You know, hey, I got a house. Come to my house. You know, he likes the nice hotel in Rockville. He always stays with me. But there's so much there. There's so much there. I wouldn't have had if I hadn't said, you know, I can be machshir for him and see. Maybe he has something interesting to tell me. Something interesting to teach me. Is it a chacham? Let me call it. Yeah, you would have done that.
No, I really like
this. You would have done the talk that I didn't struggle.
Now you.